You're listening to the Freedom Message with Steve and Vincent live on bbsradio.com. Thank you very much for listening. The number to call into the show is 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. Looking forward to taking your call today to talk about the Ron Paul Revolution and the political process in this country as it unfolds. Lots of very interesting news for you today. One thing I want to call your attention to is the fund drive that's ongoing at the moment, at ronpaul2008.com. So if you go to the campaign's website, they put up this really neat gizmo on the webpage. It's a thermometer which gauges the donations to the campaign as they happen. So if you go to the website, ronpaul2008.com, and make a donation, when you make the donation, it automatically updates this thermometer. It's really fantastic. You can see it happen. And then your name flashes up on the screen with your city and your state. And you can sit here and watch this dynamically happen. It's within a span of a minute. You may see two or three donations a minute happening. It just updates dynamically. And it's really literally a graphic representation of the support of the Ron Paul campaign as it happens. Now we're seeing Sean Johnson, Chicago, Illinois, recent donor. And it'll update for you right now. They started this on Monday at noon, with a goal of raising $500,000. Right now, we're at $388,901. Now, that works out to be $7,541 an hour. At that pace, by the end of the quarter, which is on Sunday, we will have raised $1,085,904. So we're going to double the goal. So, folks, hit ronpaul2008.com and watch this happen. Be part of it. It's really quite exciting as you see it update, you know, your eyes seeing these donations coming from all over the country. And, you know, people with all different kinds of surnames. And it's really quite exciting to see this dynamically happening in front of your eyes. I hope that they keep this feature on the website and don't abandon it with this experiment, because it's quite a lot of fun. There we go, $388,950 just updated. So the money continues to pour in to the Ron Paul campaign to fund this great second American revolution. Very exciting. A little later on in the show, we're going to have for you Brandon Boyd, who is organizing a Ron Paul commercial week. Now, this is an effort to put Ron Paul commercials on the air across the country. The funds are being raised from supporters, from citizens, and the commercials are being produced by a group, a political action committee formed specifically for this purpose. And I think it's very noble and very exciting that we are doing this on our own. Now, the campaign is obviously going to be doing its own television advertising, as we heard from Bill Dumas, the video editor, producer for the campaign. He indicated that they will be doing their own videos and TV commercials at some point. But of course, you know, we Ron Paulers, we can't wait. You know, we just gotta get it done, and we gotta get it done right now. So hats off to the folks that are doing that, as we wait for the campaign to launch its own media campaign with all that cash that they're collecting from us right now. Very exciting. So, if you've been listening to my show, that I have a little bit of a thing about Fred Thompson, and that I am gearing up for FactsOnFredThompson.com. Now, I have received, amazing intel from listeners out there is pouring into my inbox. However, I don't have any time to put it all up on factsonfredthompson.com. I need a webmaster for that project. Let's take this guy down. Let's take him down. Let's use all the ammo that we can get together and take this guy down. I need your help to put that up. So if you want to be the webmaster for Facts on Fred Thompson and make a major contribution to the restoration of constitutional government and the exposure of phony conservatism, phony Fred, then please contact me at freedommessage@sbcglobal.net. freedommessage@sbcglobal.net. So we have a little piece here, apparently, and I really enjoy this a lot. Some Ron Paul supporters intercepted Fred Thompson at a Ron Paul reception, at a Fred Thompson event of some sort in Austin, Texas, and they showed him up. So I'm going to play a little bit of that this YouTube clip for you, and go ahead and enjoy this.
Thompson also addressed the situation in Iraq, asked whether he agrees with President Bush the U.S. troops will be needed there well into the next presidency.
It depends on how things go. I think that what they're doing now is the right approach. I think for a long time we did not have the right approach, and it's very important that we achieve stability there.
Vote Ron Paul for president, 2008.
Thompson overnighted at the Driscoll, where he was met by Ron Paul supporters at his lunchtime fundraiser.
Now, it certainly wasn't all smiles greeting Thompson here in Austin today when he went to the Driscoll Hotel for a reception. He found about a dozen supporters of Ron Paul, another Republican presidential hopeful. Protesters say they came out because of Thompson's voting record, including his support of Iraq.
Leaving there wholesale with our tail between our legs is not the thing to do. It will make us have to pay a heavy price in the future.
We need somebody in the Oval Office that is going to look out for Americans' interests and not for foreign interests.
Ron Paul supports troop withdrawal from Iraq and the end to foreign intervention. Robert.
Okay, so there you have it. Ron Paul supporters showing up. Fred Thompson and getting basically as much, if not more, press out of a Ron Paul out of a Fred Thompson appearance than Fred Thompson himself got. So those are pieces from two distinct television reports in Austin, Texas. So way to go, Ron Paul is in Austin. I didn't used to be a big supporter of going to other candidates' events and showing them up, but you know what? Why not? You got to use every opportunity we have, you know, every opportunity. You know, do it with grace, do it with intelligence, you know, but what the heck? Go ahead and do it. I'm officially endorsing this type of activity. Why not? You know, and when it comes to Thompson or Giuliani, gloves are off. Gloves are off. These guys just don't deserve any consideration whatsoever. Anything that can be done to expose them for the phonies and the frauds and the just despicable hacks that they are, it should be done. So go for it, guys. Very proud of that work. So let's see what else we have for you here. Now, there was, apparently, I missed this, but apparently there was the Obama girl. Now, and she, was it a YouTube? If somebody knows about this, please call in and let me know, fill me in on this. I could have done a search for it, but who has time? 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. The Obama girl apparently was... she hired by the Obama campaign to do this YouTube video where she takes her clothes off for Obama or something like that. So now there's the Ron Paul girl. And this made the news. So I'm going to play you, let's see if I can find it, the original Ron Paul girl clip, and then the here we go. I hope this is it. The original Ron Paul girl clip, and... then the news report about it. So, hey, here's another example. doing something, right, is getting the name out. At least it gets the name out. You might have mixed feelings about this. I have kind of mixed feelings about it. But, you know, hey, it got us a news report on national television. I think it's MSNBC. So here we go. Ron Paul girl. Dig this.
Lately, I've come under attack from a number of people who claim that my videos have no content, that I have no talent, that the only reason I get any attention at all is because I take off my clothes, that I'm just a stupid blonde bimbo. Well, let me ask you something. It's a simple act of standing up and taking off my clothes right now can get me tens of thousands more viewers. Wouldn't I be stupid not to do it?
She shows us her Ron Paul 2008 t-shirt.
And a return to the basic constitutional premises upon which this country was founded. Check out my blog for more info and some links. And some more videos of me in my underwear.
Okay, so there you have it, the Ron Paul girl. Yeah, like I said, I have kind of, let's just say, mixed feelings about that. I mean, you know, it's a little on the edge there, but yeah, she's getting it done. People are watching it; they're getting the Ron Paul name. And here we got something out of it on. I think this is C-SPAN. No, this is Fox. No, very Fox News. Okay, the Ron Paul girl. Here we go.
It was Obama, then Rudy, and now Ron Paul. Internet girls stomping for votes for their favorite candidates on a provocative website. Check out the new video. This is the Ron Paul video, and it's hitting the campaign trail. This Ron
Paul
girl.
Oh,
you can see it.
This is so Ron Paul.
All right. I'll tell you what she's saying if you can't hear it. She says that if she can get 50,000 votes, hello, by nearly taking it all off, why shouldn't she? So Chris just said she's got my vote.
Yeah, that's Chris
on
Chulo,
camera four.
Who's married.
Yes,
that's
and that's not nice.
What, for him to be mad?
He is the Ron Paul girl, or RuPaul, as I like
exactly
to call
right.
her.
The RuPaul girl would
get many different kinds of votes.
Not that there's that's right.
Would have no right. place in Iran. How's that?
Thank you very much.
Good point.
Okay, so there you go. Little silliness on Fox News over the Ron Paul girl, but thank you, Ron Paul girl. it certainly livens things up. You got to have a little sense of humor and have fun with this. I got to check out the Obama girl. But see, here's the difference again, right? The Obama girl was paid. This was a PR stunt. A conscious, paid-for PR stunt thought up in a boardroom. What do we got? The Ron Paul girl. She's doing it on her own. Why? Out of love. Love for the freedom message. So go, Ron Paul girl. So I got a Ron Paul guy for you. I was guest on a sort of a panel discussion, a Bill Maher politically incorrect style discussion last night at a theater in Hollywood called the I.O. West. It's a comedy improv theater. And so this has been YouTubed. The first part of it, anyway, has been YouTube. There's two segments. I'm going to play the first segment for you. And this is me, Stephen Vincent, representing the Ron Paul Freedom Message on this show last night. And it was a lot of fun. We unfortunately did not have any neocons to kick around. I was really disappointed because I was, you know, hoping to really kick some neocon butt. There was a liberal, but, you know, that's so easy. So, and he was from the Edwards campaign, and you know, he wasn't a bad guy. He just believes in big government, you know. But anyway, we all had kind of fun bashing Bush, I guess, whenever we got a chance. So, I'm going to roll some of this for you from last night. Oops, hold on a second. Yeah, learning my soundboard here. This is my all-new audio setup. Okay, audio back up on that, and rolling.
Even if a candidate is on the ballot in all 50 states, they're still not permitted to use those debates necessarily, right? I think it's a percentage of the polling. You have to reach 15% or something to be on.
No, it's not 15%, but in any case, first of all, the way the debates are presented are completely rigged. I mean, they group, in most of the cases, they group the first-tier candidates in the center of the stage,
right?
So that when you're looking, you know, at a camera shot, it's the quote-unquote first-tier candidates right in the center of the stage. Anyone who's considered the second-tier candidate is off to the side where you can't see them.
Ron Paul's hanging out on the edge.
Building up a head of steam, so when they finally ask him a question,
the time is not equally allotted, right? The front runners are asked more questions in these Republican and Democrat primary debates, right?
Yeah. And it becomes a self-fulfilling, proposition. You're going to say, these guys are the front runners, and we're just going to say that,
right?
And you are going to believe it because you believe whatever you're told by the tube, right? So we tell you, these are the front runners, and we're going to show you that by putting them right here in the center near the host. So as you can see where I am today.
If Ron Paul were here, though, I'd have him say, wait a minute. We switched it. Your guy says, John Edwards is one of the front runners, so he gets those cushy, juicy center spots, huh?
Yeah, he does. I'm not complaining. it's still true that, I really appreciate the fact that there is breadth and actual diversity of opinion on both sides in the Democratic debates and the Republican debate. It's great that Kucinich is in the debate because he says things that wouldn't get said otherwise. It's great that Ron Paul is in the debate. It's great to have someone against the war on the stage in a Republican debate.
And Mike Rebell's going to be in the
debate. Right, yeah. Right. So there's somebody who can rant about the war on drugs in a Democratic debate. I don't think that I don't think that enough people are actually watching the debates. They're debate again and again and again, and they're almost monotonous enough and not different enough from each other.
I think that speaks to the structure of the debates. When I was a kid, the debates were a big deal. There were only three networks. But seriously, they were a huge deal. I worked in TV news. That's my waiting tables job. And when I was in Dallas at WFAA. They brought in Ted Koppel, and he was interviewing everybody. It was this major Democratic debate.
In the primary.
Yeah, okay. And it was an amazing thing to me. And now it's just like, it seems like maybe there are, I don't want to say there are too many debates, but they're so different places, and they're just all over the map. And they're like, how can we give the debate a little more pizzazz this time to get you?
They take turns giving sound bites, don't they?
Yeah. They should be able to question each other.
They should be able to question each other.
The candidates can question the other candidates.
Probably the most famous debates in this whole moments in all of these debates was when Rudy Giuliani challenged Ron Paul on his position on 9/11 in the Iraq War. And it only happened because Giuliani busted out of the box and
he spoke out of turn.
Spoke out of turn and attacked Dr. Paul. It worked out famously for us because he became an instant rock star. Thank you, Rudy. He's doing it again. Anytime he opens his mouth, it's just gold for us.
On a couple of the last Fox News debates, they have this, you can text in for who you thought won the debate.
Yep.
And both times, Ron Paul was killing in that texting. But they kind of blew it off. Like Sean Hannity blows it off and says, they're all just, they're all going crazy.
That was not true.
First of all,
you cannot vote
votes. Not
really.
You cannot, especially the text votes on the cell phones cannot. Yeah, I tried. You can't. So those are legitimate votes, and I mean, we're really kind of over this, and very soon this is going to come to an end. They keep saying the Ron Paul campaign is an internet phenomenon, and yes, it sort of started on the internet, but no, we're real people, and we do real things in support of our candidates. So go out on the street. We go out on the street, you know, we hold signs. Last Friday it was raining, one of those rare days it rains in Southern California. We were there with our signs, and you know, we have rallies, we go door to door, we at our shopping centers, we paint our cars with Ron Paul all over it, you know.
Whoa, is that legal?
You know.
Just this coming Thursday, the Tavis Smiley is hosting, and it's in Baltimore. It's an African American college.
Yeah.
The four Republican frontrunners are not going to appear at this debate. Thompson, he hasn't been at any yet, but Giuliani, Romney, and McCain all said they're not going to be there. Ron Paul will be there. What's with that? Also, Univision did a Democratic debate, and they wanted to do a Republican debate. Only McCain said he would be part of that.
It was weird. You know, most of the... You know, the first debate I saw was when I was in grade school, and the guy said that he was going to give us more snacks and a longer recess. And even why? And I really haven't seen me change in the same debate since then. It's the guy that says he's going to give us the most stuff. You know, but then when I got older, I realized there was no free lunch.
Well, you know, the Republican front runners, so to speak, quote unquote, will seem to really pick and choose where they're going to show up, because they didn't show up. All the big names did not show up at a very Christian conservative function recently called the Values Voter Debate. They didn't show up for that. Ron Paul showed up for that, and they didn't want to be asked the questions from the hardcore right wing conservatives, because basically they're liberal Democrats wearing a conservative cloak, and now they don't want to show up at a more liberal oriented debate, because perhaps they don't want to be shown up for being liberals, you know, in by an actual liberal. I know that Tavis Smiley interviewed Ron Paul and fairly well, and I'm looking forward to hearing Ron.
Thursday. And on the flip side, the Democrats would not show up for a Fox News debate.
Right, on purpose. Very, very, very critically. We're not going to show up. Democrats are not going to show up on a partisan political Republican channel. It's just not going to happen. And that's, you know, they're not going to, and that's the right political decision for them to make. And there's no reason why they should help out Fox in any way at all, or let the Fox News people ask them questions. That they're going to be biased questions, and the clips that are going to get replayed on the news are going to be particularly where the Democrats look bad, et cetera. And Fox, you know, it essentially persona non grata on the Democratic side of
it. Well, the other thing, the Democrats are very comfortable answering questions from snowmen on the internet, right?
Have one more for today.
They're scared of YouTube. Right.
No, the Republicans didn't want to do it.
Maybe
they don't want to debate it. I mean, nobody wants to.
They don't want to be in an environment that is not completely controlled and scripted and engineered and rigged to their benefit.
Right.
They don't have the answer. Why?
So there you have about half of me, Stephen Vincent, the host of the Freedom Message, last night at a Bill Maher politically incorrect style panel discussion. I should have played the audio from the original file rather than from the YouTube. I think that was a lower quality, but I'll do that for the second half. Well, I'll probably play that for you tomorrow. So it was fun. It was interesting. You know, nothing too serious. You know, it's a comedy thing, but we had a good time, and the people in the audience really seemed to respond to what I had to say. I got applause, I got laughs, and people were just generally digging the Ron Paul vibe. So it was cool, and thanks so much to the supporters that came out and gave me some backup out there. Thank you very much. Hopefully it won't be the last time. In fact, I was invited back to be on the show again in a month or two, so I'm sure we'll be doing it again. Great. And let me see what else I have here for you. We're going to have on the show shortly Brandon Boyd from the Ron Paul Commercial Week. And that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to play about four different commercials that have been created for this. Now, the website is Operation NH. It's Operation New Hampshire, OperationNH.com, where you can check into the Ron Paul Commercial Week. And let's see where we're at right now. We're at, with the fundraising, it's updating again. $392,905. So I think when I spoke a few minutes ago, about a half hour ago, and I intro'd this, I think it was at 380,000. Now we're at 393,000. $13,000 in a half an hour. That's crazy. Okay.
Exactly. That's pretty
crazy. So, we do have on the line now Mr. Brandon Boyd, and let's see, we seem to be getting some feedback on the line here.
Hi, are you there with me, Brandon?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. So you're located in Washington, D.C., pretty close to the Ron Paul campaign headquarters.
Exactly.
All right. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about the genesis of your effort there, how it got started, and where things are at, and how people can get involved.
Sure, it's called Operation New Hampshire, obviously, because we're trying to target New Hampshire, which is an early primary state. And what we're trying to do is target that state with TV commercials, Ron Paul TV commercials. And right now we have three TV commercials made, and they're not easy to make because the quality needed for TV is much higher. But we've managed to get three made. And they're formatted for TV, they're ready to go, they're ready to air on cable, they're ready to air on broadcast. All we need to do is purchase airtime for them. So our goal at Operation New Hampshire is to have a national commercial week where each individual meetup group purchases airtime in their locality for the TV commercial. Therefore, the TV commercials would be airing across the nation if each meetup group participated in this, and Ron Paul would be getting the much-needed media attention that he failed to get in the mainstream media.
That's great. That's really great. I really appreciate the effort and the ingenuity that you've put into this. So, you know, what I'm going to do is play a few of these right now. Now, I found that there were two versions of the Mosaic ad, one where there's a single voice doing the voiceover, and then there's another one where several voices of different Americans are doing the voiceover.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm going to play the one with several voices, and I don't, because of the audio setup that we're working with right now, we're still kind of working some of these elements out here. I don't think you'll be able to hear the ad that I'm playing, but I'm going to play it for listeners right now, and this is the Mosaic ad.
Okay.
Mosaic ad.
America was founded
on an idea,
a constitution
that set it apart from the rest of the world. Now,
220 years later,
this constitution is under attack
from the very government
entrusted
to serve its people.
This is not right.
Who would America's founding fathers elect today to restore what they fought and died for over two centuries ago? There's only one real choice.
Ron Paul.
I'm Ron Paul. I am the champion of the Constitution.
The American Liberty Coalition, PAC, is responsible for this communication.
And
So, I just think that the creativity that you're putting into this is really special, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. We're definitely trying.
Yeah. So now you've got it placed. You've got a certain number of meetup groups have agreed to do this, right?
We have a different number of ads. Is that a question?
Okay. So I think that I'm seeing it. Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Maine, Missouri, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, Vermont, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming are already lined up to broadcast.
Exactly. Yeah, those there's about 20 meetup groups that have already signed up, and of course we're hoping to get over 100. I mean, that would be great. We have two different political action committees set up to make this totally legal, and we're taking care of all the FEC paperwork. We're taking care of all the legalities. All the meetup groups have to do is purchase the actual airtime for the ad, and we're trying to make it as user-friendly as possible for them to do that, and we've set up instructions on the website, opnh.org, on how each individual meetup group can set up their own airtime schedule and purchase their own airtime schedule, and then choose which TV ad they want to air. So to participate, again, all people would have to do is make a TV schedule, buy it, and choose which TV ad to air. So hopefully there's going to be over 100 meetup groups that participate, and this is truly going to be a national effort for Ron Paul's benefit.
Well, that's really, really exciting news. Let me go ahead and play another clip. Another one of these ads for our listeners, so they can get a sense of the kind of work that you're working on. Just go ahead and hold on there while I play this, Brandon. I'll be right back with you.
Hold on there while I play this, Brandon. I'll be right back with you.
In the U.S., politician has become a dirty word. Yet there is one man in Congress who never once sold out to special interests. Ron Paul, a military veteran. Paul voted against the Iraq War, but for going after Bin Laden. Ron Paul seeks to protect America's future by saying no to corruption, no to corporate welfare, and no to unconstitutional government spending. Ron Paul fights for the Constitution, fights for you, a Republican candidate for president you can trust.
The Americans United for Freedom PAC paid for and is responsible for this advertisement. This message is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
So that was the second ad. And now, the best thing for people to do if they wanted to get involved with this and get involved and maybe contribute to it would be to go to OperationNH.com. Is that correct?
It's yes, it's the full word Operation and then the letters NH.com, or it's OPNH.org is what we're using now to make it simple.
Good. Go ahead. I think we had a problem with the audio there. So I was asking you about the best thing for people to do with the to get involved. Go to OperationNH.com.
Yes. Go to OPNH.org. That's OPNH.org. And if you contribute on the website, it goes to the meetup groups. What we're going to do is we're going to give grants out to the meetup groups that maybe they can't afford to raise the money to buy the airtime, so we're going to try to help them out as much as possible. And also it goes towards creating more TV commercials, press releases, you know, the whole gamut.
Great. Well, it certainly is something that we're going to be helping you to promote as much as we can in the coming months. Now, the date for the actual commercial week is being pushed to November, is that correct?
Yes, and the reasoning for that is all the local politicians are starting to air their TV ads because obviously we have a lot of local elections in early November. So we want to try to avoid that time because when all the politicians are trying to air their political commercials at one time, it's going to raise the airtime price, and we're going to end up paying a whole lot more. And in addition, Halloween's going to cause a problem. We have season premieres coming out, and all the season premieres are obviously going to raise the airtime rate. So if we push it out beyond all that, then I think we'll be able to buy airtime more cheaply. We'll be able to buy more of it and get out to more people.
Awesome, awesome. Well, let me go ahead and play this last ad here, and I'm going to thank you for coming on the show. Now, if people want to email you or contact you, what's the best way to contact you?
They can call me on my cell phone. They can email me, and we have all the contact information listed on the site.
Okay. All right.
And one note about the last ad is that we are going to modify it. The voiceover isn't final. We're going to shorten the disclaimer. We're going to change up a few things due to viewer feedback. So that's just a draft version.
Sure, sure. I'm sure it's. I know. I used to work in video production and editing and that sort of thing. So I, you know, I think someone once told me that a piece of video is never really finished. It's only abandoned. So you know, you can always make changes and tweaks and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, great work. Great work. Keep me posted on everything that you're doing. Make sure you email me all your updates and keep me posted on what we're doing and anything that I need to let people know about. Get that information to me so I can make the announcements on it in a timely way. All right.
Okay.
Thanks so much
for having me on.
All right. Bye bye.
Good. So I'm going to go ahead and play this final piece of a video for you, audio anyway. On this last commercial.
Whatever happened to the honesty, the humanity, and the statesmanship of our politicians? This election, look to the one exception to the gang of 535. Look to the candidate that votes for the Constitution, not special interests. His own party tried to unseat him for Congress. He doesn't accept corporate money. As Ronald Reagan said, we need to keep him fighting for our country. Say no to the status quo. Keep Ron fighting.
The Americans United for Freedom PAC paid for and is responsible for this advertisement. This message is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
There we go. So three spectacular commercials produced by Ron Paul supporters, raising the funds for the airing of the commercials themselves. Quite inspiring. Where else do you see this? No other candidate has this kind of this kind of support. So here's another website that is the PAC that was formed to do this. It's ALCPAC.com, ALCPAC.com. That's the American Liberty Coalition PAC. American Liberty Coalition PAC that was formed for this project. Great work, guys. Keep it up. So, let's see what else I got here for you. We do have some new Ron Paul audio that came in. Maybe I'll break off a little piece of that for you. Let's see. Oh, all right. I got to do this. I got to play President George W. Bush for you. I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking, Stephen. He's lost it. He's playing George W. Bush on the Freedom Message. But you know, sometimes you have to listen to what they're saying. You have to listen to it. And you have to learn from it. And you have to remind yourself about what it is you're working for in the sense of what you're working against. So I'm going to play a little bit of President George W. Bush addressing the United Nations, the prototype for the world government that he and all of his friends are hoping to bring us. And we're going to have a little discussion about that. So, okay, you know, if you get a wastebasket nearby or some kind of a trash bag, you know, you might want to have it just in case you kind of lose it because your stomach gets a little queasy listening to this. You know, prepare yourself. It ain't pretty, but we got to do this. So let's go ahead and listen to George W. Bush yesterday morning speaking to the United Nations.
I have the honor to welcome to the United Nations His Excellency Mr. George Walker Bush, President of the United States of America, and to invite him to address this assembly.
Mr. Secretary General, Mr. President, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity to address the General Assembly of the United Nations. 60 years ago, representatives from 16 nations gathered to begin deliberations on a new international Bill of Rights. The document they produced is called the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and it stands as a landmark achievement in the history of human liberty. The Declaration opens by recognizing the inherent dignity and the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family as the foundation of freedom and justice and peace in the world. And as we gather for this 62nd General Assembly, the standards of the Declaration must guide our work in this world. Achieving the promise of the Declaration requires confronting long-term threats. It also requires answering the immediate needs of today. The nations in this chamber have our differences. Yet there are some areas where we can all agree. When innocent people are trapped in a life of murder and fear, the Declaration is not being upheld. When millions of children starve to death or perish from a mosquito bite, we're not doing our duty in the world. When whole societies are cut off from the prosperity of the global economy, we're all worse off. Changing these underlying conditions is what the Declaration calls the work of larger freedom, and it must be the work of every nation in this assembly. This great institution must work for great purposes, to free people from tyranny and violence, hunger and disease, illiteracy and ignorance, and poverty and despair. Every member of the United Nations must join in this mission of liberation. First, the mission of the United Nations requires liberating people from tyranny and violence. The first article of the Universal Declaration begins, "All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights." The truth is denied by terrorists and extremists who kill the innocent with the aim of imposing their hateful vision on humanity. The followers of this violent ideology are a threat to civilized people everywhere. All civilized nations must work together to stop them by sharing intelligence about their networks and choking off their finances and bringing to justice their operatives. In the long run, the best way to defeat extremists is to defeat their dark ideology with a more hopeful vision, the vision of liberty that founded this body.
Okay. That's about all I can take. So, you know, somebody who hasn't really thought things through looked, you know, a little deeper, looked a little bit under the surface, might listen to that and hear all these wonderful words, human rights, freedom, justice, peace. You hear these beautiful words, these platitudes coming from this man, and you think, wow, you know, he's really working, you know, for the good, you know. But when you start to look underneath and see what he's really talking about, it starts to get a little bit scary. First of all, if I'm not mistaken, you're the president of the United States of America, and you have sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, and that is the highest law to which you are sworn. Now, I'm pretty sure about that, and I think that it's kind of your job to defend the sovereignty of the United States of America. I'm pretty sure about that. Yet, you go to this international body and you talk about the International Bill of Rights, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, as the highest achievement of liberty. Now, I thought that the American Constitution and its Bill of Rights was the highest achievement of liberty. Because I don't see any other country in the world who's ever had as much freedom as we had, H-A-D, before you came along, than in the United States of America. So I don't know why our president is going to this international body in exalting the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the International Bill of Rights above the American Constitution. It seems to me that's bordering on treason. Now, he says that the standards of the Declaration, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, must guide us. Now, if I were the President of the United States, and I would suspect if Ron Paul were the President of the United States, he would go to that international body and say, if you would like some standards, we got them. It's called the U.S. Constitution. Let me read you a little bit of it. Let me tell you about what we've done in the United States of America, and maybe you might want to do the same in your country. That might be the best way to approach if you really cared about your country and the sovereignty of your country, and if you cared about the other people in the world and you want to help them, maybe set a good example and show them our good example. No, what do we actually have? What we have is a president who, while simultaneously destroying the Bill of Rights in the United States, is upholding an international Bill of Rights. Now, I read something at one point, and I haven't explored this fully. I haven't dug into it completely. I don't know all the ins and outs. But I do know that from the reading that I have done, that if you look a little deeper into the International Bill of Rights, what it talks about is how wonderful it is to surrender your power to the greater good, to the state, to the collective. It's very much focused on the collective. Now, we need to look into this a little bit, because I'm pretty sure that was the interpretation, at least that I received, is that it's very much about how wonderful it is to be surrendered to the collective good. Now, we already have Fred Thompson coming out with his slogan about security. What is it? Security, prosperity. Security, unity, prosperity for the common good, for the greater good. Security, unity, prosperity for the greater good. His socialist, collectivist slogan of a so-called conservative Republican. Unbelievable. Now we have the President of the United States exalting an international Bill of Rights, which is a collectivist document, which is an attempt at a universalization of government. Okay? And while at the same time he is gutting and destroying the actual Constitution and the Bill of Rights in this country. What does he say? Work for the larger freedom. What does that mean? For the greater purposes, work for the larger freedom. I mean, this again is collectivism, socialism, world government. And he starts out with all of these wonderful platitudes and then makes this sharp, I mean, not a very graceful, dissolve into terrorists and extremists. Okay? I mean, all these platitudes about human rights, freedom, justice, peace, all just a little bit of candy. Just a little bit of candy to get you to listen to him talk about how we got to stop the terrorists and the extremists, okay, that want to take our liberties. Okay, you, sir, are the terrorist. You, sir, are the extremist who is taking away our liberties. You, the President of the United States, all right? So we're primarily, I think, worried about you, all right? So, folks, man, I'm sorry I had to do that to you. I had to make you listen to George W. Bush on my show. I promise I won't do it often, but sometimes you just got to hear it straight out of the horse's mouth, all right? What you just heard was the most appalling display I have ever heard from an American president. I mean, that woke me up yesterday morning. I woke up to this, okay? on national propaganda radio, my alarm clock going off. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Sorry. Sorry I had to offend your ears. I know I could have just spouted a whole bunch of four-letter words and profanities, and it would have been less offensive. But sometimes you just got to do it. So let me take the edge off of that. Let me take the edge off of that and play a little of Ron Paul for you on a news talk radio station called The Frank Beckman Show.
The Frank Beckman Show.
Frank Beckman Show. Yesterday.
Good to see you in person just a few blocks away from Henry Ford Hospital, as you know so well.
That is correct. In the early 60s, I spent 2 years there in my medical training.
How did you come to Henry Ford as a part of that?
Well, the truth is I was in medical school at Duke, and I was on my way to Ann Arbor to check out a residency and stop there to see a friend, and all of a sudden I got more interested in Henry Ford Hospital. Stayed there 2 years, but I was called away from my training there to go into the military during the Cuban crisis, and I didn't make it back to Henry Ford after that.
And then you wound up in Texas, of course.
Yeah, I was stationed in Texas and ended up staying there.
Yeah. So what's it like for you to come back here? This is pretty much conceded to be a Romney country right now, isn't it?
Well, I hadn't heard that story when we did that.
He's leading all the polls, and you know he's a native son.
Well,
and all
that. We'll look for our rallies and support and see how we do. We expect to do quite well here this weekend.
Now, that's really been the story of your campaign, this grassroots movement, isn't it?
It is, and it actually surprises me, probably surprises some of my staff on how strong it is. A lot of people come out, and they were showing me a film last night that I hadn't seen Ann Arbor, you know, from the college and University of Michigan, and which is considered, you know, far left, I guess, but a lot of students, very enthusiastic, and evidently our message is touching a few people, and especially young people, and they're, you know, coming to our campaign.
Well, it's an interesting message, as we talked about last time, because it really mixes a lot of what's demanded on the left, as far as the war is concerned, right, and on the right for fiscal responsibility. And you're one of the few candidates who mixes the both.
You know, and I think one thing I've learned in the campaign, and I think has been a mistake, is that we assume people who are liberals and Democrats that they don't care about free enterprise. You know, it's like they're socialists. And that's not true. I think they have an agenda where they're more concerned maybe about welfare programs, but they're still interested in the marketplace and a healthy economy. And I talk a lot about that. And there's a lot of those who come from the left who believe that we ought to, you know, balance our budget and things like that. So I think bringing that together with civil liberties and an anti-war position, but I also encourage conservatives not to feel badly, that they can feel comfortable and still follow the Constitution and not have to endorse war, and that they themselves can protect personal liberties. So I think it's an opportunity to bring people together, and this is what we're seeing. The rallies that we have are very diverse. I mean, we do have the young and the old and liberals and independents and Republicans, and I think that's the most interesting thing about the campaign, about bringing people together.
Mm-hmm. But the big spending of government is something that really costs Republicans.
So there we have a little bit of Ron Paul from a show that he did yesterday, a radio interview. And he did mention the support that he got at the University of Michigan. And there's a YouTube here that I'm going to play for you. And
that's my argument is...
Oops. Let's go ahead and pause that. Sorry, guys, still working out all the details here. Okay, so this is a bunch of... You have to kind of see it. There are dozens and dozens of these University of Michigan students.
Awesome.
With signs and different shots of them chanting Ron Paul.
America, I'm proud of it. I'm proud. 110
10% vote for Ron Paul.
See these faces.
Yeah, airplane in the air, supporting Ron Paul.
They got an airplane flying through the air with a Ron Paul President banner trailing behind.
Hope for it. 20 years. You like? Give us material. Google Ron Paul.
All right, so there you go. University of Michigan loves Ron Paul. It's just one student after another in these shots. Pretty amazing. So go ahead and check that out on YouTube. So we're kind of on the end of the show. I hope you have enjoyed it. And we'll be back tomorrow with more for ya. So let me go ahead and play ya out with some Ron Paul music. Let's go ahead and do that tune that we were just listening to, if I can find it for you. That was the New York Violets and their song, the Ron Paul campaign song. Here we go, New York Violets. Here we go, 2008 Ron Paul campaign song. So I'm going to go ahead and play you out with that. Oops. Got to turn the Frank Beckman show off first. All right. And hold on. Still getting the hang of some of this stuff here. Okay. Got to pause the video there. And let's see. All right. And the New York Violets, Ron Paul. 2008 song. Talk to you tomorrow. Hey, remember, go online and make your contribution to the RonPaul2008.com website. And let's go ahead and check, give you one more check here where we're at. I think we started out at the show at $380,000 on the thermometer, and we are now at $394,731. So that's an increase of about $14,000 in an hour. Absolutely amazing. Thank you, Peter Freer, Skyland, North Carolina, and all the others who have contributed in this last hour. Okay, Stephen Vincent. RonPaulFreedomMessage.com. RonPaulFreedomMessage.com. Here we go with the New York Violets playing you out. Let's talk to you tomorrow.
Will you vote with your mind? It's sooner or later, we're both gonna see what matters to you also matters to me. Yeah, we are the future.